Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more information about the City Gate, visit www.thecitygate.org.
Spoke earlier that resurrection is the power of reversal. And I wanted to just take a moment right now, not later in the service, and I want to just ask a very simple question. If your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is not where it needs to be, and you need it to reverse, you need it to become healthier. You need it to become stronger. See, it's all about life. You need to become more life-giving. If that's speaking to you, would you take a step of faith and a step of boldness and just stand to your feet? Because we're just going to simply pray for you. It's nothing to be ashamed about. Maybe a disappointment has built a wall between you and where you want your relationship to be. Anybody else that you're just simply saying, I want to draw closer. Now just very simply, here's what we're going to do. I believe we're the family of God, beyond a shadow of a doubt. And I just ask some of the family, just go gather around these that stood and just encourage them. Maybe at some time in your walk, you've been at that place that you knew there was a wall being built between you and your Savior. And so just gather around them. Go and lay hands on them. Go and encourage them. Don't let anybody standing be standing alone. Move out of your comfort zone. Just go. Listen, if you say, I don't know what to say. Let me tell you what to say. It's just simply this. Just say this. Jesus loves you. And he accepts us. You know, one of the things I love about the kingdom that Jesus established, he lets us belong even before we believe. And so just go and encourage them. Just lay hands on them. Today's the day that resurrection is reversing things. And those that have struggled in their relationship, the power of his grace, the power of his love is here to help you reverse it. Whatever's going on, whatever you're struggling with, whatever your challenges are, we read or saw on the screen several times, it is finished. We sang this morning about it is finished. I believe obedience is very important in the walk of a Christian, but can I tell you what? The work that he did was complete. And when he said it is finished, it was speaking about that work. And when we accept that, then we are accepted.
And I will love you, Lord, my days. Hallelujah. I will sing it to you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Would you guys stand with me this morning? Just take a deep breath. Oh, God is so good. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but
just take someone's hand beside you before you're seated. And we're just simply, by taking someone's hand, we're coming in agreement with that amazing grace. How many of you can think back when that grace touched your life? Amen? And to be truthful with you, many times before I ever become born again, I know the grace of God reached down and touched my life. And so we just come in agreement with that amazing grace this morning. And we just declare that every one of you are blessed coming and blessed going. You're blessed in the city. You're blessed in the field. And no matter what this world looks like and all of the trouble and contention and lies and disappointments, I've got news for you. The kingdom is not being shaken a bit. And out of that amazing grace, He will lift us up and He'll set us on a high place. He'll bring us into a broad place, a well-watered place. So I just declare this over you today in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. I want our ushers to come forth and we're going to receive tithes and offerings. And I'm not trying to... I want to say something here, and I almost feel inadequate in saying it, but I want you to listen to me. Maybe some of you have had church experiences where the minister berated you about giving or something. I want to just tell you, Citygate, you are generous people. You're some of the most incredible giving people that I've ever seen. And I want to tell you that Susan and I are so honored to be given the honor to lead such an incredible people. I think you're the greatest in the world. I know there are other ministers that feel like they lead the greatest congregation and they're just deceived. Okay? Because we have the privilege of doing that. But I commend you for your generosity. I commend you. I commend you for your sacrificial giving. And we don't take that lightly, One of the things I want you to know, we desperately seek to steward your giving in the most wise and prosperous way that we can. And we are a tremendous giving house. We just sent an offering to a team that I think in the morning they leave for Aruba. How many of you want to go and suffer for Jesus in Aruba, you know? Anyway, they've been there many times, and they're going back, and they do a great work there. We've sown in several other places, and it's all because of your giving. And so I just commend you for that. If you're watching by web streaming today, you can go on the website there. I don't know if you've been noticing. Check our website out. I've had a lot of comments about how clean it is, and with it really looking good. I don't know why the worship team's pictures on there and mine not, but anyway, no. But looking good. But if you're giving by watching my web, you can give there. The tithing and offering envelopes are there in front of you. If you brought first fruits today, you're paying on your first fruits pledge. We're going to receive that at the very end. So we ask you to hold that. We like to pray. I believe there's a different faith release over first fruits. But we're going to receive. So I just declare your giving blessed. Amen? Yeah, I know you know this, but I just have to say it. Everything above the first 10% is seed. Do you know that the tithe not seed? Religion has taught all around the Bible Belt that the tithe, just bring your tithe. No, the tithe entitles you. The seed or offering empowers you. And we have a lot of people that's tithe their whole life but never given over that first 10%. And so we just declare. And I mean, in commending you for your generosity, national average is around 3%. I think actually 3.8% of consistent churchgoers tithe. In this house, it's over 90% of you tithe. Okay? I want to tell you, that speak. Do you hear the volume of that? You are incredible. And so we bless you today. We declare that you are blessed coming and going. We declare windows of heaven are open. We also declare the devourer's been rebuked. Amen? I have he's not old. I have a former friend. I mean, he's still a friend. How do you say? I have a friend from my past that I knew his dad actually better than him, and his motorcycle caught on fire this week. And then it caught his coat on fire. He didn't realize the motorcycle on fire. And he had a pretty good burn here, but he's okay. But he didn't wreck or anything. Listen, God's good. His name's Mike Williams. I remember his dad. I did business with his dad. I remember his dad. But you know, he was when I saw it on Facebook, he was giving God all the glory. He was talking about those angels. And I mean, he, you know, laid the bike over on the side of the road, and it just had aluminum wheels on it, and it just, the wheels burn off of it, you know, and stuff. Listen, we don't know the times that God is rebuking the devourer for our sake, and we don't even know it. And so don't take it for granted. He is a great God. He's a tremendous God, and he's got your best interests at heart. Is that okay? All right. Father, we just thank you as they give, they're blessed today in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead, guys, and receive that. I want to thank you. Many of you have been giving. As you know, we're seeking to raise money to put in new sound equipment. The sound equipment we have is outdated, and some of you have given tremendously to that. You've given tremendously in your first fruit, and we just appreciate it. We're still... we need about another $5,000. We'll be able to buy the new line array speakers and whatever that other thing is that Chuck Nardi says we need. I just, you know, with that. But anyway, we're trying to get it done. So just appreciate your giving. Pray with us that it comes in. How many of you know that money doesn't grow on trees? Amen. That people work hard for it. And so it's always a sacrifice. Amen. Vicki, you want to come and give us our announcement? And then I guess after that, let the children know.
Awesome. Good morning. Happy Easter. Just look at somebody next to you and say, I'm so glad he lives in me. As usual, we have a lot going on, but we're just going to cover the first couple weeks just because there's a lot of information. On this Friday night, they're going to have a men's night at Brandon Smith's house. Is Brandon in here? I know he was in the nursery earlier. At Brandon Deanna Smith's house, that's this Saturday night at 5:30. They're going to have barbecue. So you guys come and bring some friends. I think they're going to have a fire out back and... You know, I'm not sure about that, but I know last time they did. And you just are supposed to bring a drink and a side dish. So please support that on Saturday night. And then next Sunday, we've got Fred Bennett here. We're honored to have him as our guest speaker. So we're very pleased and excited about that. And then the following week, Thursday through Saturday, Jeanette Connell has her cleansing class. Please register for that. It's $10, but that's really for your workbook. So please go ahead. You can register for that online, can't they? You can register for that online. That's Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of the following week. That's the 16th through the 18th. And then upcoming on April the 25th, that's on a Saturday afternoon, we're going to have a family picnic. It's going to be at the Bridgetown Clubhouse, which is where we had our fall festival. So that's April 25th, and we're just going to have a lot of fun. The church is going to supply hot dogs and hamburgers. And so Kathy had made a sheet up for us to sign up if you'd like to bring some side items. So if you will, I'm going to start passing this around. So please keep it moving. Don't let it stop with you. So keep it moving. And we're going to sign up for that. And if you would like to help in planning and organizing that, Kathy would like your assistance. So Kathy, would you sign up? I mean, stand so they can see who to contact. If you'll just see her or see myself, we would love to have your help in planning this. And then, of course, as usual, we have 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings. We have the prayer furnace over in the children's church room. Monday night is healing rooms if you need prayer for any type of illness or if you know somebody that needs prayer for some kind of illness. That's Monday night. Wednesday night, Apostle is still teaching on activating the acts. This Wednesday, I'll be doing my second week up in Dyersburg on the dream interpretation course. So if anybody would like to be a part of that, just let me know. And because that's a 7-week course. And then anyway, but that's it.
Our children to go minister to the Lord. I think I'm on now. Am I on? Not on. Am I on? Yes, no. Am I on?
Yes.
Am I on? All right. Malfunction. How many of you enjoyed Becca Greenwood? If you didn't, some reason you were not able to attend, the CDs are available. You need to listen to the teaching. Her teaching was great. We've kept some of her books. I can't think of the names of them, but they're good, especially the one about what spiritual battles in the mind or something. What's in that? Strongholds of the Mind. That book will change your life. Just very, very important nuggets in there that will help you, especially if you're having any type of mind battles or anything. I want to try this one more time. Is it on?
Is it on?
Nope. Can you look at this? Is it?
Chris is coming. So
it doesn't look like it's on.
No, it doesn't.
It's not. How many of you know you got to turn the preacher on? Boy, some of y'all need prayer. Wow. Some of our guests are going, I thought this was a church. Amen. If you have your God's word, go to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. I promise you I'm not going to preach very long, but I just want to bring out a few nuggets about resurrection. Amen. Aren't we glad he died? Look at that. I'm more excited he resurrected. It's the one aspect of our relationship with God that sets us apart from any other, I don't even like calling them religious group, but any other group. Buddha rotted. Muhammad rotted. Are you hearing me? You know, Jesus resurrected.
And in the process of that, he brings us the power of reversal. But in, I want to read you what his death, his burial, and his resurrection did. Is just simply displayed in Colossians 1 and verse 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. That's a good place for an amen. Amen? How many of you know religion? Anybody ever heard this testimony in church? Inside of me, there's two wolves. There's a white wolf and a black wolf, and they fight. And sometimes the white wolf wins and I do good, and sometimes the black wolf wins and I do bad. Anybody ever heard that? Well, that's not even true. I want to tell you, when Holy Spirit came inside of you, every bit of darkness went out of you. Hallelujah. Amen? Now, are we faced with decisions? Yes, we're faced with decision. But how many of you know the pride of life, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh are simply decision, and he's given us the power to say no.
That's right.
Amen? He's given us the power to say no. And so we must understand, it says there, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. How many of you, the love of God's touched you at some point? Can you not watch the dance here today, the video at the end of it, and not have the love of God touch you in some type of significant way? Now, go with me to the book of Acts, chapter 27, and verse 19. I'm going to just read this very simply, because I want you to understand what this resurrection... See, every day is resurrection day. But I want to show you where we are as a body of Christ so we can go forward. And Acts 27, 19 says, on the third day... Look at somebody say, the third day. He was resurrected on the third day, but we find this term, the third day, many times throughout God's scripture. It said, on the third day, we threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands. Now, this is a story. I'm going to paint you a picture here of Paul, and they're in a rough sea. They're trying to sail across to Cyprus. It says that he must be brought before the judges, the unrighteous judges, and they're going across, and the sea is bad, and everything's rough, and it says here they threw the tackle overboard. Let me tell you what that represents. When you throw the tackle of the ship, that wasn't just the cargo. That was the rigging of the sail. That was everything they had to keep that ship upright. What this is saying is, when they finally came on the third day to that resurrection moment, they said, okay, we're not going to trust our ability, we're going to have to trust your ability. And I want to tell you, if you've not had your back pushed against the wall to a place that you've had to say, not my will, but your will be done in this situation, then I'm telling you, it will come at some point. You will have to allow the very will of God to prevail in your life. But when it talks about throwing that tackle overboard, it's speaking about putting your trust totally in what he is desiring to do at the moment. Amen. Anybody here besides me at times when you listen to the news or read something about what's going on in the world, you feel like things are out of control? Well, let me give you a real good nugget. When things seem like they're out of control, let him step in and have control. If you feel you're out of control, it's because you're trying to control it. I've got news for you. It's not because I read the back of the book. It's because I've got a daily relationship with him. In the midst of all the darkness that's filling the earth, there are more people being born again today than any other time of history. Great statistics give us that 1 million Muslims a month are being born again. Great statistics tell us that out of that 1 million a month that's being born again, close to 100,000 of those that are being born again are having Jesus walk into their room and speak to them. That's today. That's not fairy tale information. We've had Harold Eberly here last year, and he did several campaigns in Pakistan, not him personally this past year, because he couldn't get a visa, but his team did, and they saw 38,000 Muslims become followers of Jesus. When Harold preaches there, he tells you he's got a sniper on top of the building. He's got a guy on one side of him with a shotgun, another guy on the other side with a pistol. Excuse me, but the gospel prevails. I got news for you. God is at work. And we are at a place. I don't know what you're trusting in. It can be Smith and Nephew. And that's a good company.
It can be your brother's business. And I'm sure that's a good company. And you're working with your dad. It can be your dad's business. It can be FedEx. It can be whoever that you're working for. But I've got news for you. When we put things like that in a place of trust, over trusting him and his kingdom, there's a day that will come that things around us will shake, but his kingdom will never shake. His kingdom is about righteousness. It's about peace. It's about joy. And we must understand it. Now go with me to Genesis chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. I love this. And no better time to use this scripture. And the earth brought forth grass. Isn't it wonderful to see things turning green? Woo, I want to tell you. I'm cautious with using this term because some families have had friends or family members, but the weather's almost been schizophrenic. I mean, it's like, do you realize just a week ago? I mean, yesterday, Susan and Dawn sat out with the dogs and the sun was out and it was so beautiful and everything. And a week ago, it was snowing. Amen. And then last night, they're predicting a frost line again tonight. And with that, I mean, it can't make, but can I tell you, I know this because my dad told me this story. I was born in 1953 on May the 4th, in case any of you don't know. But anyway. And my dad told me the year I was born, he had planted rice and it snowed on it in May. Okay. But he said he didn't miss a rice crop. It grew. You know, the snow didn't stay with it. So, you know, we see things around us seemingly in a turmoil. But I've got news for you. The kingdom. I think I asked this question recently, and I'm going to ask it again. Anybody here know who Sam Samudio is? Besides Chuck will know this. Anybody know that name, Sam Samudio? Anybody remember a rock and roll guy, Sam the Sham and the Pharaohs? Well, he's from Memphis, and he's now a preacher, and he's got a voice like, I wish I could do it. It hurts my throat like Wolfman Jack. Boy, I'm really old. Nobody in the room knows who that is. But anyway, he's got this real coarse voice, and he used to preach for us, and he is a preaching machine. And he would say, there ain't no panic in heaven. Let me just tell you, God orders your steps when you yield your will to him. And God has a plan. But we see here in Genesis chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. Let me finish it up there. And it says, and the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to the kind, and the tree that yields fruit whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So it was the evening and the morning for the third day. I got news for you. I believe this year, I believe today, Resurrection Sunday, that we celebrate, and I've seen all the postings how that Easter is a pagan and all this. I got news for you. I celebrate his resurrection every day. We just officially, significantly, more so, do it today. But I've got news for you. It's about, you're seeing resurrection. That dead grass is turning green. The trees are budding. And yes, even that yellow pollen is selling on your cars, all right? But I've got news for you. He is alive. And he is an advocate. I had an experience this week with two seers out of South Africa who didn't know me, but they got a hope to somebody who did know me. And they had the word of the Lord. And they saw a courtroom of heaven scene. They were legitimate seer, and they saw the Lord Jesus Christ as my lawyer defending me, and they saw something that had been taken away from me when I was paralyzed at the age of 6. And this week they saw the Lord go into the courtroom and defend me, and that my half of the scroll that had been ripped away from me when I was 6 years old when I was paralyzed was given to me. Can I tell you what? I can tell a difference. I'm just telling you, it's just like, wow. I don't have words to tell you. But can I tell you what? He's your lawyer too. He's defending your case. But can I share with you? Before he could before he could take the scroll from this entity that had it,
We had to find out why that entity had a right to have my scroll. And I've been searching. I've been doing some meetings with someone and going back, cleansing my bloodline, trying to find out where a door was open and everything. And they found it because they didn't know me. All of a sudden, they knew. And they said, do you have Indian blood in you? Do you have First Nation blood in you? Native American? Everything's so politically correct today. I don't know what to call it. And I said, yeah. I said, my great, great, great grandmother was a Cherokee preacher, full-blooded Cherokee preacher. And they said her family made unrighteous land covenants and built altars to the wrong gods. And we went back. I repented for what they did. And we went back and we tore. I'm talking to you about resurrection today. I had a resurrection experience on Wednesday. Was it Tuesday or Wednesday morning? Tuesday morning. I drove in about 2 o'clock in the morning and had to get real early because of the difference in South Africa time. But I've got news for you. We went back and tore those altars down. We repented for that, and resurrection, the power of reversal, flooded into our life. Don't you want that? What we've got to realize. See, things are changing. We're on third day. Let me read you another scripture. Genesis 22, verse 4 and 5. I love this. Then, on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and he saw the place afar off. Do you know that historically the same place that he was willing to sacrifice Isaac is the same place Jesus was crucified? We don't get taught that a lot, but that is historically true, because that my friend Dutch Sheets teaches that, and I've read it in some commentary. But he said he saw the place afar off, and Abraham said to his young man, speaking of Isaac, his son, stay here with the donkey. This was the servant with the young man that was trying to stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. I love what he said. He knew what he was called to do. He was going there to sacrifice his son. Let me tell you what. Abraham believed in the resurrection before the resurrection was. Because he said, I'm going to be obedient to God. He's asked me to sacrifice my son. But he told that servant boy, he said, me and the boy are going to come back in a little while. Now, either he was planning on cheating God, and I don't think he would, or he knew if he sacrificed his son, he would be resurrected. Are you with me? And so we've got to understand this resurrection power, excuse me, that today gives us. We've got to see it in the totality of what it is. So then they came to the place which God had told Abraham, and Abraham built an altar there, and he placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood, and Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel or messenger of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and he looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Jehovah Jireh. Your scripture might say, the Lord will provide. And he said, and it is said to this day, in the mouth of the Lord, it shall be provided. Now, three things I want to bring out here to you. The place of your greatest sacrificial obedience will always become the place that God provides. To think about it. He's ready. He's got the knife drawn back. He's ready to sacrifice his son. Every once in a while, not as much anymore, but when I was a young preacher, I'd try to put myself in that place. I'd be pretty tough, wouldn't it? Amen. But he's ready, and he looks up, and there's a ram hung in the bush, hung in the thicket. Now, here's the promise I want you to catch today. At the place of your greatest sacrifice, God will always have a ram hung in the bush. You know, you don't have to be willing to give up everything you got. You don't have to give up everything you got. You just got to be willing. Amen? You have to be willing. Let's look just a little bit further. See, what I want you to understand when you leave here today, that you're a third day people. Someone asked in the Wednesday night class recently, I just can't get away from this day. I said a while ago I wasn't going to share this, but they asked, what is one of the things you believe is coming that's going to be used to wake up people out of religion? Can I tell you what I believe the Lord has shown me? On April the 30th, 2010, in Gallup, New Mexico, in a hotel, an angel came into my room about 2 o'clock in the morning. I've never had an angel speak to me until that time. And this is one of the things he told me. He said, get ready, for those that have been dead and buried will once again walk into town. How many of you know when Jesus resurrected, the scripture said, those who had been dead. And can I just tell you, how many of you know in the spirit realm, the cosmos here, that's all around us, there are angels of darkness, or there are evil spirits, and there's angels of light. And anybody, what's the guy that writes all the weird movies? Stephen King? Is that his name? Yeah, he's the one that does. How many of you know that if you've ever watched any of his stuff, he's tapping into partial truths? Anybody ever seen the series called Storm of the Century? I could teach spiritual warfare out of that. I'm just telling you, it is so with it. But here's what I want you to catch here, just for a moment. See, I believe that in that realm, people are picking up. There's a new show on TV. I'm not telling you to watch it. Okay, I just watched it a couple of times. It's pretty dark, but it's called The Returned, and it's all about a bus accident, and a lot of people were killed in the process. But three years. I find that interesting. I believe I'm right. 3 years later, they're all showing up and down alive. See, I believe sometimes people in darkness pick up on. I'm telling you, we're moving into a time that we're going to see resurrection power like never before. I've heard reports in Angola. I've heard a report of how people who had been buried for 20 years came walking into town, got out of the grave, and went on living their life. Now, maybe you have a difficult time believing that. That's okay. No condemnation. But God is going to take something greater than just preaching the gospel to bring people to a wake up. People argue. Someone I went to school with, all they could post this week was how that the churches are filled with hypocrites. Okay? Got any hypocrites here? We'll pray for you. Not one hand. Oh, my hand's up. Any hypocrites here? See, I don't believe you're a hypocrite. They said, that people go to church that sin, and people go to... what better place to be if you're a sinner? I read in God's Word where Jesus hung out with sinners. You know, years ago in Hayti, Missouri, anybody know where Hayti is? Hayti, Missouri. I'd go down behind the liquor store and hang out with the guys that drank all the time. And one day I went down there and it was cold, and they had a 55-gallon drum, and they all had a little brown sack, and they had something, and I'd minister to these guys. And one of their buddies had died that night, and they were all sad. How many of you know they have friends and they have emotions in the midst of their alcoholism? And so I got them all in a circle around that 55-gallon drum, and I'm praying for them. And another minister in town saw me, and he went to the clergy meeting they had in Hayti, and he told them all, and said, you know what that new preacher's doing? He's got all them drunks down there, those winos. He's got them all gathered up like he's ministering to them. No, I wasn't like I was ministering. I was ministering to them. I was trying to help them understand that there was a better way. What is the resurrection power going to do in your life? Can I tell you what? If you'll let it reverse some things in your life, then God will bring in your life in a manner you can release resurrection power to reverse things in other people's life. That's what God's wanting to do. I'm going to give you one other scripture. I love this third day. In Esther chapter 5, verses 1 through 3, it said, now it happened on the third day. Man, there's, when you get to looking this up, it's just so, on the third day that Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the king's palace, across from the king's house, while the king sat on his royal throne in the royal house, facing the entrance of the house. So it was that when the king saw Queen Esther standing in the court, that she found favor in his sight, and the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. Then Esther went near and touched the top of the scepter, and the king said to her, "What do you wish, Queen Esther? What do you request?" "It shall be given to you up to half the kingdom." I want to close with this today. Let me tell you one of the things that this resurrection season is about. It's about the favor of God coming up on you in new ways. Some of you, you need to, I want to just say, can I just challenge you? Reach up and pull this into your spirit one day. Some of you are real close to a promotion you didn't think you're going to get. Anybody here need a promotion? Reach up and get it. Pull it into your spirit. Some of you are real close to getting a plan to help you move into debt-free living. Come on. Let me just share with you. We've been here 11 years in this building. We have close to $500,000 debt on this building. And we just refinanced last July. Been almost, it'll be a year in July. At 4% interest, and the way that we're doing this, we're going to look around. This group of people, you, we're going to be totally debt free in about 7 years. I want, come on, that don't excite you? It excites me. Amen. Because let me just share with you, we're doing great. But in the past, every time we couldn't make a building payment, guess who didn't get a check? Susan, not me. That's how we run this ministry. But can I tell you, not only that. Look at your neighbor and say, not only that. Just the other day, we closed on our loan on 15-year financing, 3% interest. In fact, we're, you know, just through legal process in about a month, we're going to be able to, because our house is for clergy, we're going to be able to get out of property taxes. Not only that, our house payment is about $500 less than our other, a month than our other house payment. And so Susan and I will be debt free in about 10 years. Now, you say, preacher, you do a lot of boasting. I'm boasting in him, but I'm also letting you know he can do it for you. See, some of you are real close to a better vehicle, and you really need it. Some of you are real close to a better job. Some of you are real close to finding that, not just a significant other, but you're to find that companion of life so you can be completed. Amen? I want to tell you something. Very few people have been born and created by God to be celibate or to be alone. Understand that God wants you completed. And so I just want to release to you today's Resurrection Sunday.